We are also on Facebook Live. In Facebook, just search 1041 Nick Reed. You can watch the show live. Obviously, listen to it as well. Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author, Meg Meeker, is a or has been a pediatrician more than three decades, a mom, a grandmother. Seen just about all that one could imagine. And her book, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture, 11 Steps to Keep Her Happy, Healthy, and Safe. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. Is it worse than ever?
First of all, thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
It is. It is. And, you know, I didn't write the book to be a doomsday person. But as a pediatrician, I have seen in the past 6 and 7 years, the pressures that kids face, the girls face, has really escalated. And a lot of parents know this. Depression's on the rise. Anxiety's on the rise. Gender confusion's on the rise. The number of younger girls dieting is on the rise. And I've gotten a lot of letters from parents who say, I have no idea how to help my girls, whether she's 5 or 10 or 15. So I really wrote the book to say, okay, parents, here's what's out there, but here's how you can win your daughter through that. Here's how you can help her navigate it so that she comes out very strong on the other side. So it really is about encouraging parents to kind of say, roll up your sleeves, you can do this.
I know one of the areas of the book, you've got four sort of big questions that every daughter has, and how you answer those as well. What are they?
Yes. I wrote these because I believe that one of the reasons our kids are falling into trouble is well-intentioned parents are parenting on a very superficial level. By that I mean we're teaching our kids how to do a lot of stuff very well, but it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't give them strong roots. So I wrote these four questions. One, where'd I come from? You know, a lot of kids don't even know that they're wanted, that maybe they just showed up one day or that they landed in their parents' house because they made a mistake, whatever. The second question is probably the most important. What gives me value? What gives me significance? In other words, why am I here? Why am I alive? You know, if you ask a 5-year-old, they can understand why they're alive. A 15-year-old, but most kids don't know that because we focus so much on making sure that they have opportunities to play travel hockey, travel soccer, all this kind of stuff. Again, there's nothing wrong with those, but we're not balancing that with parenting the kids' heart and soul. So our kids need to understand their value comes from the fact that they are ours, period. You know, we love them. They're valuable because they were put on this earth to do something great, serve people. Our job is to help them find that, to love them along the way, whether they do well in school or sports or whatever, or whether they don't. And we think about that. That's what we adults want from our spouses, really. We want our spouses to love us, even if we don't make a lot of money, even if we fail at our jobs, whatever. Kids need that, too. The third is there a moral code out there? Are there a set of rules that I need to live by? Because kids are born with an intuitive sense of right and wrong. You know, a 9-month-old hits the dog over the head with a little pan. She immediately realizes that wasn't a good thing to do, and she looks ashamed. So kids intuitively know the basics of what are right and wrong. But because we've thrown away any sense of accepted, you know, societal accepted moral standard, kids are confused. If they don't know the rules, they feel crazy. And then the fourth question is, you know, where am I going? Not only where am I going, you know, next year, but where am I going later in my life? Again, what's the purpose of my life? And then, of course, where am I going after I die? These are four existential questions that when you read them feel a bit heady, but they're really easy to answer for our kids, and any parent can do that.
We're talking with our author of the week, Meg Meeker. The book is Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture, 11 Steps to Keep Her Happy, Healthy, and Safe. We I think you mentioned sexuality in there, and of course there's so much talk of that where it wasn't so much that case several years or decades ago. And it almost seems, I don't know, this is why you're the expert on this, but we do the opposite of what we should do, where kids do, there are all these unanswered questions and they need direction and they need a guide because they don't know. They're new in the world, even once they get to be, you know, 13, 14, 15. But then some of these major things were sort of like, oh, it's up to you. Like, no, no, exactly. That's the opposite of how you do this.
Well, and it's interesting because if I pulled all the parents of my kids in my practice from, say, 11 to 17, all parents would say, I really don't want my kids sexually active, but I really don't think that I can do anything about that. And I say, you know, you're absolutely wrong. I think that we don't guide our kids' sexuality and sexual activity, one, because we feel intimidated, and we're embarrassed to do so. We don't want to talk to our kids about sex. The problem is our kids are being talked to about sex every single day. You know, if you watch the Super Bowl and you saw J-Lo's performance, yes, she's beautiful, she's 50, she's in shape, but what it told girls is, if you're going to make it to be anybody in the world, you've got to pole dance. Now, is that a message that we want our, you know, 12-year-old girls to receive? No. But that's what I mean. They're being talked to all the time and getting messages. I ask the girls in my practice routinely, teenagers, what are the biggest challenges that you face in school, junior high on? Without skipping a beat, they say being thin enough and having sex. Those are the pressures they feel. And yet parents are embarrassed to talk about their kids. I will tell you something. I love talking to kids about sex in my practice, and I have encouraged them to wait and to wait and to wait, and I tell them why. I tell them emotionally they're going to be so much healthier if they wait till they're older. They're going to be able to bond more deeply with their partner. They're going to enjoy sex more. And that there are huge risks in starting sex early. And then I tell them how to do it, how to wait. I will tell you their eyes light up. Not just girls, but boys. Because a 17-year-old boy, if you tell him why you might become depressed after you've had a number of sexual partners, it's like a light goes on in them and they go, I get it, I get it. No one ever told me. No one ever told me that I didn't need to be doing this, and I do feel not very good about myself, even teen boys, because I found teen boys are very, very sensitive. So it's really important, because we're living in a hyper-sexualized culture, because it makes a lot of money. You know, movies know that if they market to teenagers and they lace them with sex everywhere, they're going to make a bunch of money. And so we need to get in there, and we need to be teaching our kids, here's what I want for you. Here's why I want this for you. I want you to be emotionally and physically healthy for the next 50 years, because you have 50-plus years worth of sexual activity. So I need to really help you in the next 10 years, link arms with you to navigate a culture that's telling you, do it, do it, do it. This is how you gain popularity. So we can do this, and I know it because I've seen it happen. I've done this with kids over my practice for the past, 10 or 15 years, and it really does work. And it makes kids feel better. So parents, if this is what you want for your kids, you want them to postpone sexual activity and reduce the number of partners they have, you are the one who can influence doing it, and kids want to hear why they should do it. No one tells them. They go into school in sex ed classes, and they hear, well, you know what, you're going to have it, so do this and this and this, and you won't get pregnant. Pregnancy is not the problem. Kids don't want to hear that message. They know that's old. They know there's trouble out there.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Meg Meeker, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture, 11 Steps to Keep Her Happy, Healthy, and Safe. We more and more have single parent homes, particularly single mother homes, and even sort of get celebrated. Oftentimes, there are TV shows around it. And even in dual parent homes with a mother and father, oftentimes, and I bet even instinctually people hear this and they think that this book is for mothers. And if it were about raising a boy, that would be for fathers. But part of what you write about is when it comes to raising a strong daughter is the essential complementary roles of a mother and a father.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the mantra of the day is women can do everything. Mothers can do everything. They don't need men. We're going to push men, we're going to push fathers out of the way, and we're going to do this all on our own. And that is, as you said, that's looked up to, you know, many people look up to that as you know, how wonderful that women can do that, and they don't need men. If you ask any child if there's a difference between their mom and their dad, every kid will say, oh, yeah, there is. And it's good, and that's good. Mother, and I wrote a chapter on mothers and their daughters, fathers and their daughters. Fathers bring to their daughters something that mothers can't. Now, a lot of people won't like to hear that. My job is to speak for kids, not to tickle people's ears. Fathers bring to their daughters a sense of protection, a sense of a closeness that a mother doesn't. It's interesting, if you ask any daughter, you know, if her mom loves her, she, of course she does. My mom has to, right? Because if your mom doesn't love you at the beginning of life, then you might as well not live, because mom has to do everything. If you ask them if their father does, they'll scratch their heads and go, I think so. But let me tell you, when a daughter knows deepest part of her heart that her dad loves her, she believes she can accomplish anything in the world. Why is that? It's just the difference between a mom and a dad. Again, she believes mom has to support her, has to tell her she can accomplish anything, and has to love her. But dad doesn't. So when he says something, I remember this so clearly as a young adult. You know, my dad telling somebody I was going to go to medical school and I hadn't even gotten in yet. And in that moment, I knew that I knew that I knew I was going because my dad said it. Now, I can't really explain this, you know, scientifically, but I know that it is. And we know that girls who have a father in the home are menstruate later. I mean, they start their periods later in life. Go figure. We know that they have a higher self-esteem, more likely to finish high school and go on to college, less incidence of depression, anxiety, less likely to get into sex, drugs, and alcohol. You go on and on and on. So having a dad in a daughter's life is huge. And I wrote another book that I wrote, Strong Father, Strong Daughters, that a dad is a daughter's first male love. And he's the one who is going to influence how she relates to boys and men for the rest of her life. Mom can't teach her that. Mom can teach her how to be a strong woman. Mom can help her with self-esteem. But mom brings very different things to the relationship than a dad does. Neither's better than the other. It's the complementing that's critically important. And so that's why I'm talking to both parents, because your daughter needs both influences in her life.
I've got time for one more question, and I was going to make it about social media because you do cover that in the book, but of course people can buy the book and read through all of this. But I think that it's so important, and one of the areas that you do cover is what every daughter needs to know about God. And so I'd like to use my last question with you on that.
Yes. Believe it or not, the research says that God is good for kids. Believe it or not, but I mean that's what research has to do to prove that. We know that girls who have a faith feel more secure in life. They have something to grab onto that they know is bigger than they are, bigger than their parents, who gave them life, who put them on the earth for a greater purpose than just worrying about themselves. And those girls who long to figure out what it is that God equipped them to do, and they hit on that, that's the ultimate sweet spot that they live in. Girls need God because they have a set of rules, if you will, but it's not about the rules by which they should live. And they like that. They know that there's a reason they should postpone sex. They know there's a reason why they should live with a lot of courage and tenacity. They know that God gave them a strong character, and he wants them to use that character, and that he's far less impressed with the stuff they do than the fact that they are a human being, that they are, and not that they do. And kids are extremely open to God's love in a way that adults aren't. I've had so many young girls tell me they see angels, and their parents say, no, stop telling the doctor that. And I say, no, can I hear this, please? So kids are so open to God, and they want God. And a lot of parents say, no, we'll talk about that when you're older or whatever, because I want you to choose when you're 18 which religion to believe in. But they have no way of choosing, because they don't know the difference between Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever. So that's why parents need to dive in and teach their kids about God and who he is as, well, a person's spirit, if you will.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Meg Meeker, author of the week, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture, 11 Steps to Keep Her Happy, Healthy, and Safe. And I want to really make sure people understand, while we talked a lot about, I suppose, you know, the problems and the different areas of discussion, that this book lays out the steps to go about addressing these issues. So it is, because, you know, people will hear, us talk about certain subject matter, and they say, well, but what do we do about it? And that's what it is that you lay out in the book for folks. So thank you so very much. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Great. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Meg Meeker, the book again, Raising a Strong Daughter in a Toxic Culture, 11 Steps to Keep Her Happy, Healthy, and Safe. And like all our Author of the Week books, at ABC Books on North Glenstone. If you happen to miss any of this, we will have it in the Author of the Week podcast section, so you can go back and listen to it in its entirety at ksgf.com. It's on demand, Nick Reed Show, and then pop up, you'll see Author of the Week. I'm Nick Reed. More coming up next.